The psychiatrist again grew pale. This was the same young woman whose shadowy figure had approached him with her amazing message. The next weekend I led a conference in Mexico City. Once again, wonderful magic was breaking out all around me. The familiar arms turning togus flesh feeling was happening with stunning regularity. After a meditation, a woman in the audience began to cry happily. She had just experienced a past life memory in which her current husband was her son. She had been a male in a medieval lifetime, and she, the father, had abandoned him. In this present life, her husband has always feared that she would leave him. This fear had no rational basis in the current life. She had never even threatened to leave him. She reassured him constantly, but his overwhelming insecurity devastated his life and was poisoning the relationship. Now she understood the real source of her husband's dread. She rushed to telephone him with the answer and with her reassurance that she would never leave him again. Relationships can sometimes heal incredibly fast. At the end of the seminar's second day, as I was signing books, a woman came through the line, crying softly. "Thank you so much," she whispered as she took my hand. "You don't know what you have done for me. I've had terrible pains in my upper back for the past 10 years. I've been to doctors here, in Houston, and Los Angeles. Nobody has been able to help me, and I've suffered terribly. In the past life regression yesterday, I saw myself as a soldier being stabbed in the back, just below the neck. Just where my pain is. The pain disappeared, for the first time in 10 years, and it's still gone." She was so happy she could not stop smiling and crying. "Lately I've been telling people that regression therapy can take weeks or months to work, that they should not get discouraged because the process seems to be going slowly. This lady reminded me that progress can also be unbelievably rapid." As she walked away, I wondered what other miracles the future would bring. The more I see my patients and workshop participants recalling memories of their past lives, and the more I witness their magical and mystical experiences, the more I am reminded that the concept of reincarnation is only a bridge. The therapeutic results of walking over this bridge are beyond question. People get better, even if they don't believe in past lives. The belief of the therapist isn't important either. Memories are elicited and symptoms resolve. So many people, however, become fixated on the bridge rather than finding what lies beyond. They obsess about minor details, names, historical accuracies. Their whole focus is on discovering as many details from as many past lives as they can. They are missing the forest for the trees. Reincarnation is a bridge to greater knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It reminds us of what we take with us and what we do not, of why we are here and of what we need to accomplish in order to move on. It reminds us of the incredible guidance and help along the way, and of our loved ones returning with us to share our steps and to ease our burdens. Chapter 24, Finding Myself to Exist in the World. I believe I shall in some shape or other always exist, and, with all the inconveniences human life is liable to, I shall not object to a new edition of mine, hoping, however, that the errata of the last may be corrected. Benjamin Franklin. Over the years, many of my patients have become my teachers. They constantly bring me gifts of their stories and experiences, gifts of their knowledge and spiritual understanding. Some have become my dear friends, sharing their lives as well as their gifts. Years ago, before Many Lives, Many Masters was published, but after my work with Catherine and dozens of subsequent regression patients, a patient brought in 2 messages for me. She had received the messages in dreams and wrote them down upon awakening. They came from Philo, a person I, too, had seen in dreams and later identified in my first book. This patient did not know about my dream experiences. The coincidence of the same name was interesting. Did the messages come from her subconscious mind? From an outside source, such as Philo? From a forgotten memory of something she had read or heard earlier in her life? Perhaps it does not matter. To paraphrase my daughter, Amy, real is a matter of existence, and it existed in her mind. My messages from Philo also spoke of the mind. To be LW, the mind in each of us can comprehend all other things but is unable to know itself. For let it say what it is and whence, whether it is spirit or blood or fire or some other substance or only so much, whether it is corporeal or incorporeal. We are ignorant of when the soul enters the body. You've done good work in guiding beings to recognize that moment. It is a good beginning. Your friend, Philo. The other message came a week later and dealt with the nature of God. To be LW, we must remember, too, that the transcendent being is the only cause, the father and the creator of the universe. That he fills all things not with his thought only but with his essence. His essence is not exhausted in the universe. He is above it and beyond. We may say that only his powers are in the universe. But while he is above his powers, he includes them. What they do, he does through them. Now they are visible, working in the world. From their activity we get a clue to the nature of God. Ides Philo, I can perceive great truths in these words, whatever their source. I have met famous psychics and mediums, priests and gurus, and I have learned many things from them. Some are incredibly talented, and some are not. It has become clear to me that there is no direct correlation between psychic abilities and level of spiritual evolution. I remember a conversation I had with Edgar Mitchell, the well-known astronaut and researcher of paranormal phenomena. In his laboratory, Edgar had studied a famous psychic who could affect energies and by doing so could move a compass point through a magnetic field and even move objects by the power of his mind, a phenomenon known as telekinesis. Despite these obviously advanced psychic abilities, Edgar noticed that the character and personality of this psychic were definitely not consistent with a high level of spiritual awareness. He was the first to point out to me that psychic abilities and spiritual development are not necessarily connected. I believe that the psychic abilities of some people increase as they progress spiritually, as they become more and more aware. This is more of an incidental acquisition rather than an essential step. One's ego should not become inflated merely because the level of one's psychic abilities increases. The goal is to learn about love and compassion, about goodness and charity, not about becoming a famous psychic. Even therapists can become extremely psychic, if they allow it, while working with their patients. Sometimes I can pick up psychic impressions, intuitive knowledge, or even physical impressions relating to the patient sitting in the comfortable chair across from me. A few years ago I treated a young Jewish woman who was extremely despondent. She was feeling out of place, feeling that somehow she was in the wrong family. The center of both of my palms began to ache with a sharp pain as I talked to her, and I couldn't figure out why. I looked at the arms of my leather chair. There was no break in the leather, no sharp edges, no reason for this kind of pain. Yet it was getting even more severe and beginning to sting and to burn. I looked at my hands, and I could see no marks or impressions, no cuts, no reason for this. Then a thought appeared suddenly in my mind, this is like being crucified. I decided to ask her what this meant. What does the crucifixion mean to you? Do you have some connection with Jesus? She just looked at me, her face blanching. She had been secretly going to church since she was 8 years old. She had never told her parents about this feeling that she was really Catholic. This sensation in my hands and the connection we had made were able to help my patient break the logjam of her life and to know that she was not crazy, she was not bizarre, that her feelings had a basis in reality. She began, finally, to understand and to heal. Eventually we found a powerful past life she had experienced in Palestine 2,000 years ago. We are all psychics, and we are all gurus. We have merely forgotten. A patient asked me about Sai Baba, a great holy man in India. Is he an avatar, a divine incarnation, a descent of deity to earth in incarnate form? I don't know, I replied, but in some sense, aren't we all? We are all gods. God is within us. We should not be distracted by psychic abilities, for these are merely signposts along the way. We need to express our divinity and our love by good deeds, by service. Perhaps no one should be anyone else's guru for longer than a month or two. Repeated trips to India are not necessary since the real journey lies within. There are distinct benefits to having one's own transcendent experiences, to begin opening up to the realization of the divine, to the understanding that life is so much more than meets the eye. Oftentimes you don't believe it if you don't see it. Our path is an inward one. This is the more difficult path, the more painful journey. We bear the responsibility for our own learning. This responsibility cannot be externalized and dumped on someone else, on some guru. The kingdom of God is within you. Epilogue. I am certain that I have been here as I am now 1,000 times before, and I hope to return 1,000 times. Goethe. From time to time, I hear from Elizabeth and Pedro. They are happily married now and live in Mexico, where Pedro has become involved in politics in addition to his businesses. Elizabeth cares for their beautiful little girl, who has long brown hair and loves picking flowers from their garden and chasing the butterflies that flutter around her. Thank you for everything, Elizabeth wrote recently. We are so happy, and we owe so much of it to you. I don't believe they owe me anything. I don't believe in coincidences. I helped them to meet, but they would have met anyway, even without me. That's how destiny works. When allowed to flow freely, love overcomes all obstacles. Dr. Weiss maintains a private practice in Miami, Florida, where he has expanded his offices to include well-trained and highly experienced psychologists and social workers who also use regression therapy in their work. In addition, Dr. Weiss conducts seminars and experiential workshops nationally and internationally, as well as training programs for professionals. He has recorded a series of audio tapes in which he helps you discover and learn techniques of meditation, healing, deep relaxation, regression, and other visualization exercises. The end.